I want to dedicate the shir, L'zeichah Nishmas, my grandfather, Yaakov Kapel ben Menachem Mendel, HaKohen, whose yurtzeit is next week, on Wednesday. His neshama should have an aliyah, someone who certainly taught me the importance of the love of Eretz Yisrael, of Medinas Yisrael. Last year we had this chus of dedicating it with one of his great-grandchildren here. But in Mirtz Hashem, we should be zeichah that his neshama should have an aliyah. We continue to daven for Yisrael David ben Yonah Leah, a friend of mine's father, should have a full claim of Besoch Shach Yisrael. I believe he sponsored yesterday. He's learning as well. So, the reason why I wanted to discuss it, as you know, the 3 weeks will be upon us, and it's important to note that. I already got a question today. Can you Motzei Shabbos? Because it's a nidcha. So the 3 weeks start this evening. All right, they don't Motzei Shabbos, even if, by the way, Motzei Shabbos was Shavuos or Batamos, the 3 weeks to start then anyway. But it's already well into the 3 weeks. So anyone who wants to do their shaving, we'll see after the shir if I'm going to let you shave. But anybody who wants to do their shaving, it should be done L'chavod Shabbos Kodesh. I want to b'li neder get to the topic of shaving during the 3 weeks. Or shaving l'kavod Shabbos, which is something I know that you're discussing in Mishnah Berurah Shir, the idea of kavod Shabbos. I'm not 100% sure I'll get to it, but I promise you tomorrow, when we give our more unplugged Shir, we will discuss many of the minhagim during the 3 weeks, specifically those that are violated by the camp, kedas v'kedin, every week in and week out, and we'll see what the possible heterim are for that, maybe including shaving as well. I also want to point out a Maris Ayin Inyan, as we discussed it last week, so that no one should think differently. Clearly, Rav Ben does think differently. So the reason why I have a beard is not because I'm religious. It's not a rabbi thing. My assumption is, how do I not know the reason why I have a beard? But my wife came up to me a number of years ago, and she said, "You look very good on a beard." I think it was because I was getting heavier, and she was sick and tired in seeing my many chins. And she said, "The beard, you know what it is?" So that's it, I think. I grew up, Baruch Hashem, with some of my great rabbeim, Rabbi Savolovsky being one, and I actually happened to be next to Rabbi Savolovsky in Morash HaKolel when a great rabb, I won't mention his name, asked him, "Nu, why don't you have a beard?" But I know that Rav Asher Weiss, I think, later asked him this as well. And he said, I'll just say who it is, Rabbi Willick was talking to him about it, because he had just gotten married, and he said, "My wife doesn't like it." Ooh, your wife doesn't like it? No, nothing to discuss. There could be that we'll discuss a clear chumrah in having a beard, and the reason why this is such an awesome shear is that we're going to see a lot of new sources we never saw before, some of them new to me as well, but beautiful, amazing, great rabbanim. But it really shows something very interesting. Because you almost can't paskin whether or not you could shave during the 3 weeks without knowing the rabbi's views. Halacha is extremely important in understanding, well, who's the rabbi? I'll just give you a good example which relates to what we're discussing. There's a famous tshuva, oft quoted, of the Noda B'Yehuda of Yecheskel Landau, that says that on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to shave. Everybody loves this. This is like the pick and choose tshuvas of the Chacham Tzvi. He says, you know, one day Yontif, everybody loves the Chacham Tzvi. If I were to ask you one other tshuva, anything that he ever said besides that, you won't know anything. No offense. Or even who the Chacham Tzvi's name was, but not for now. So too, he says, "Oh, Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to shave because the Nodi Yehuda." You have to look at the Nodi Yehuda. Why the Nodi Yehuda said that? And this is supposed to be halachic shir, so this is so important. So it's because of the shir we're about to give. There is a very interesting sefer called the Shelos Hatshuvos B'Saman Rosh. B'Saman Rosh is a very interesting, history. The B'Saman Rosh was attributed to the Great Rush, and many made the mistake, like the Meiri, who quotes it all the time, and great Gedolim quote it all the time, and they didn't realize until years later that it was a forgery. The Rush did not write it. Okay. Question is, who wrote it? Some say it was a maskil, it was someone. The problem is that it's great lumdus. It's a great sefer. What? A maskil. That's what I said, son. And so some say that you shouldn't learn it at all. Others say, no, it's good Torah. Here's the difference. If I was to today present to you an Igros Moshe, right? And I wrote the Igros Moshe, in about 30 seconds, 3 seconds, you'd be like, oh, this is Purim Torah. Hartstein wrote it. It's a joke. So the Besamim Rosh had to be on a level. So this originally idea comes from the Besamim Rosh, was the question of what we talked about by the Lachas of Nazir, which obviously shaving is an important factor. What's the Issa Daraisa? So the Issa Daraisa probably is an Issa Daraisa of Nabi Yehuda when there's a Mashahu, right? I got a question yesterday, and I'll explain to you why I actually am giving this year. I forgot to tell you this, from some guys who got haircuts. So you always have this here, and the people don't want to spend, I guess they spend $30 on a haircut. I said to him, don't I get it half off? Because I have no hair. He didn't think it was funny either. You didn't either. And he was a Spanish gentleman. He had no, and then finally, when we ended the whole thing, he goes, I have to ask you a question. He goes, how come you wear the hat? So, we got Ramalka, gave him a whole thing. To cover the horn. He said, I don't see any horns when I'm cutting your hair. How do you hide them? Fine, okay. So it's a mashu, according to the Noda Yehuda. And therefore, Rabbi Cheskel Landau lived in a town, unfortunately, where people were not listening to the halacha. And they were using a razor. They were using razors. So if you were machmir, and you said, no, you shouldn't shave, right? There's a whole shaila today about Chol HaMoed. Why is the reason, anybody know? Why can't you shave in Chol HaMoed? What's the isser? Molacha could be a possibility, but the real rose, it's not covered to the first day of Yom Tov. Because what are you going to say? Oh, I'm off all next week. It's not really noyeg today. There are others, famously Rav Salvechik, Rav Aaron Salvechik said you should shave during Chol HaMoed. One of the reasons, by the way, also that I have a beard, it's much easier for me now because you won't know what I hold. Like, you'll never really know. And all these different halachas. Do you shave? I don't shave it. I never shave now, so it doesn't matter. Right? I just trim. So, the Noda Yehuda said, better that they're using razors. So better tell them to shave every day. Right? Because this way they'll be violating Durabonans every day instead of Daraisa after 7 days that it'll have a mashu. It's a very, very interesting tshuva. But you need to know the history and just say, he didn't paskin this for everyone. Others want to argue that when you write a tshuva, you had to know that it was coming out in Shel Tshuva. It's very hard to say. I had a number of wonderful conversations with Rav Reuven Feinstein, the son, of course, of Rav Moshe. And I was very surprised at some of the things that he said to me. He said to me, yeah, my father wrote that tshuva in 1964. Things have changed. He knew he was writing the tshuva. He knew people would read the tshuva. Now, it's interesting, by the way, just because I mentioned Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein has zero tshuvas on this topic. It's shocking. It's shocking. So if I forget, remind me a little bit later why I think that is. We'll see. So why am I giving the share? So I got a question from my wonderful son on Prime Day. Prime Day was this week. I don't know if you know this. Prime Day was this week. So he's sending me all these links to things I have to buy for him. And then he says, I could really use as a guy in my bunk. One of the counselors has an amazing shaver. We didn't see this shaver. It hasn't reached my country. Right? It's called the Microscreen. I think maybe Braun. The Nazis put it out from Braun. So Braun's made in Germany. So I don't. So he says, what's with a Microscreen? The problem is now I have less than 24 hours to research this because it's Prime Day. And it's 65% off, which you know what Prime Day is. Prime Day, they up all the prices and tell you that they lowered it. Okay, fine. So I had to find that out. And then another person, shockingly, last Shabbos asked me a question about something I never heard of before. I apologize. Called the Norelco One Blade. One blade. This is a real thing. And my day was all about the lift and cut. That was like the hack of the lift and cut. And when I went to yeshiva, I remember, there was one Rebbe, I think he's just passed away, Rav Tivitrusky. I don't know if he was there when you... So Zatzal, who he was in charge of taking your lift and cut out. So I had a lift and cut shaver. I didn't know. I was just waiting online. And then he's like opening the shaver, taking out the lift and cut, which you'll see later may actually be worse than not. Okay, let's get to the shear. So we saw the Gemara here in Makos. I try to help you out because I knew this... The Hebrew in this year was so difficult. I don't know if you experienced it. Very difficult because a lot of the people that wrote, as we'll see, their chief language is Hebrew. So it's not so easy. So I said, the Gemara, I'll have Rachmanis on you and get it from our friends in English. So the Gemara says, Ve'eno chayev abatar. So there are two psukim, which I didn't point out here because I didn't have enough room. Ve'lo tashchit et peyat zekancha. That a person is not allowed to, let's call it, destroy. You shall not destroy the corners of your beard. We will do not have time to discuss the five different places the Gemara discusses in Makos about where exactly you can't use the razor. Really, if you knew the halacha, similar to Har Abayis, if somebody really knew the halacha, you probably could go up to Har Abayis. If you knew the exact makomus you can go on. I don't know why I use that as an example. I have the Masura not to go up on Har Abayis. I said I have two things that, the only two things in my life that I have, no, sorry. Maybe. No, I'm going to say it like this. There are two things that I have a taiva for in mitzvahs. I have taivas by other things that aren't mitzvahs, but taivas and mitzvahs that I would love to do, and because of my Rebbe, I can't do that. I would like to go up to Har Abayis. I really would. I would love to. But my Rebbe did not allow it. And I would like to wear tchelas. My Rebbe did not allow it. Those are the two things. I mean, I'm not so upset about it, because with the Har Abayis, you have to get up very early in the morning, you have to go to the mikveh, tchelas costs a lot of money. So, okay, thank you, Rav Aaron. Fine. So, the Gemara says, the two psukim. Then it says that a person, upeya zakan lo yigalechu. So there's an issue of giluach and tashchit. Those are the two asurim. What exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says that these are not two asurim, one for kohanim, one for non-kohanim. It's a one isur in one. Different money and mitzvahs qualify it differently. So what does it mean, the psukim? The afila gochu b'misparayim yiyachayim? Maybe no. Lo tashchis. Yachalim that a person be miklat laritna yay chayav tamud lomar lo yigalechu. So the Gemara says to us that because of these two words, we learn that misparayim potentially would be allowed. Yeah. Yeah.
If you come over to Chai, will you give Misra as a Kohen to say?
Not this year today. Sorry.
No.
Not our topic. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, so therefore, it would appear that maybe Misparayim wouldn't be allowed. Misparayim is going to be a very important part of this year. But we allow Misparayim, Keitza Giluch, Shiesh Bo Hashchasa, Havei Omer Zatar. Right? So the Gemara says, how is this so? Right? Aren't you Chayav? So it depends. You need, so if you don't have both, it's going to be Mutter. And that's a very important line. So you're going to have this misparayim ke'ein tar, the Gemara says. So you're going to have, again, right? Because what's the idea? If I was to take, right now, we would have a demonstration, and I was to take scissors out, and I would start to cut my beard. So that motion is not called a razor motion. Number one, it's two blades. Number two, it's not a continuous motion. Number three, it's not the same type of hashchasa. So what we have to define and understand is what is usher exactly. What is the Gemara getting at in this usher? So the Gemara in Makos, Chav Aleph, helps us a little bit, but we need a definition. So comes along Rashi, and I wrote here, it's not really Rashi, it's the Rivan. We know that Rashi dies many times in the history of Rashi. Many Masechtos he dies. Everybody's like, oh, this is the Masechta he dies in, right? Well, you know, go see Act 2. He's also going to die, you know, over there, right? Different Masechtos in Tanis, and the Moed Katzim, and in the Durin, which is Rashi Shemot. I don't know enough the history of it, but the Rivan was his, if I'm not mistaken, his grandson, and either they fell, whatever it is, let's call it the Rivan. But it says on the page, Rashi, so I don't want to lie to you. So this is an important Rivan. The Rivan says, "Umisparayon eino machshitim she'ein chotchim se'ar betzad ikur kitar." It's not like a razor because it has a dual action to it. And he says, "Derech legaleach bo mashchis." It's not the same destroying process, right? He doesn't care what it looks like in the end. He says, "Tachlis, did you use a razor? No, shkoyech." That's what we're interested in here. However, the Nemuke Yosef says, "Dichsiv lo tachkis aval b'misparayim mutter." The less behu, you know why misparayim mutter? One reason only. Why? Because in their hashchas shaharei nekar imasar. Uh oh, nekar. It's we can see it. So many of the different Baruch Hashem, I've listened to a lot of different shirim on this. I did not listen to one of Rav Simon's 15 shirim. I'll be honest with you. But obviously Rabbi Leibowitz has so many different, I've forgotten already who, all the shirim I listen to. Rabbi Leibowitz has a bunch of shirim on this. And I listened to, I have to remember, Rav Turchiner has a great shiur on this. Many people kind of repeat the same thing that really Rav Rosen, I believe, writes in his original article, which we'll get to. And that's process versus result, right? This is an important factor, process versus result. If the result matters, we're in a big problem. Because according to the Nemuke Yosef, if Nekar is important, well, what about every single commercial? Right, back in my day, when we had TV, you don't have TVs anymore, when we had TVs, so, and you're allowed to watch them, so Norelco's big thing, as close as a blade or your money back. Maybe that was Remington, whatever. As close as a blade or your money back. Right? And that was the commercial. They showed the smooth skin. So if it's as close as a blade or your money back, then I have a problem with the result. We're not talking about Maaser Sayin for a moment here. Right? But tachlis, that's what the issur is. Again, one could ask the good question, what is the issur? Why does the Torah tell us it's issur? Is it because we don't want to be like the priests of the day or b'chukas hagoyim? Right? Is it because of a mourning practice? What? Enechanami. That's why, by the way, I'm not joking. There may be a difference when it comes to race is a scary thing. I never experienced this before until my year in Israel. It was my year in Israel, and it was before Rosh Hashanah. We had to get a haircut. I had the same thing happen to me yesterday. In America, when I grew up in the five towns, the barbers knew how to give it, they knew all the halachas, right? The Italian barber is like, you know, you say, hey, can you just, you know, as a hafter guy, can you just cut over here? He's like, no, I'm not allowed to. It's payas. You can't cut your payas off, you know? Like, hey, forget about it. Like, he knew everything. He wouldn't let you. So, my year in Israel, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Rabina sends us to some, you know, so you have to go to this barber, this guy, the greatest. And then I have no hair. So we go to back when I had hair. So I went to the barber, I waited in line. I was one of the most beautiful things ever. I always remember this. I always tell over the story. And I'm sitting there, and this older man comes and he says to the barber, listen, I'm not joking. This is what he says. I'm willing to pay you double. I have an important meeting today with the king of all kings. I need a perfect haircut. And they're literally talking the whole haircut about this meeting he has with the king. And I'm like, these people are wacko. I mean, it's like my Shana Aleph, like the first month. And I'm like, okay, guys, enough with the joke. Like, it's just Rosh Hashanah. Can we move like quicker here? Like, I gotta go. And then all of a sudden, he starts cutting my hair and he takes out a razor. A razor! Puts a little cream on the back. Ooh, it's nice. And I didn't know how to speak Hebrew. I don't know what to say. And I'm like, iparon. And he's like, lo, in the iparon, what? So I thought I did the biggest aveira in the world. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, by the way. And I walked to one of my rebbeim's house. And I knocked on the door. I'm so sorry to bother you. I did a terrible aveira. I just want to tell you about it. He's like, oh my God, you went to the Rover? Goes, oh, you can't go to the Rover Square. No. I go, no. I used a razor. So we weren't on the same level. He didn't know what I was talking about. He's like, what? You went to a barber, used a razor? He doesn't know what I'm talking about. I go, yeah, the back. He goes, the back? You're allowed to use the back. I'm like, really? They didn't teach me that in Hafter. I didn't know that. So it's much more common, at least the barbers that I go to, they in Eretz Yisrael, they know the halachas. In America, we say, the razor, nothing. Maybe because we're afraid they're going to kill us. I don't know. No razor is allowed. No razor. Yesterday, I went to this barber. He took out a razor. He said, no, it's okay. He never saw a Jew before in his life. So he had no idea what he's talking about. He goes, no, it's much cleaner. I go, I don't want you to start. Because once he may go here, he may like, So we don't allow it at all. According to the Muke Yosef, we really have a serious problem here, right? Because it's definitely, again, you could argue with me, it's true. Because actually, my last shaver that I bought, I don't know why I bought a shaver, if I have beard now, but you know, I do the touch-up job before Shabbos, the Chavad Shabbos Kodesh. And I said to the guy, I remember saying this to him, he says, well, what kind of shaver are you looking for? So I said to him, I'm looking for a shaver that doesn't shave so well. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. I said, I wanted to leave a little hair so people, it's necker. This is what the Nebuchadnezzar says. That people know. With due humbleness, I argue with all the different shiurim that quoted every single great Pesach. I actually think it isn't it. Most of the time, you can tell the difference. There's a little bit, you could feel it. It's not chalak. One of the rayas is going to be, by the way, that even if it's maybe chalak, you know how many times you have to go, with a razor, you don't have to go over it. So one motion, shkoyach, you're done. But according to the Rivan, right, The Rivan is not concerned at all about the result. He's concerned with what? The process. Did you use a razor? No, I didn't use a razor. But it's lift and cut. And it's close as light. I don't care. You didn't use a razor? You're done. Now, very famously, and this is important, it's important in the history. I forgot to look this up. Somebody wants to Google this. Can somebody look up when the electric shaver was invented? When was the first electric shaver invented? Everyone's like, oh, I can take out my phone. It's great. This is the greatest year ever. I want to see what it says. Because here is the tale that was told. The tale that was told was when the electric shaver came out, 1903? What? 19, okay, good. So that makes sense. Next Google question. Okay, that's it for Google now.
1915.
No.
Okay.
The first PC successfully manufactured in 1928.
You're overreading.
1928 is possible.
Good.
Okay, Shkoyach. Remind me about patents later.
The patent was 1900, manufactured in 1928.
So, the Shaila is, they brought it to the Chafetz Chaim. They brought the Chafetz Chaim, the first electric shaver, and he asked it. And this is the basis, which we'll see a little bit later on. Many of you may have seen this. The basis of all the Haredi raid that you're not allowed to shave. Whether it's the Minchas Yisach, or the Shevet Alev, or the Truvus HaNog, all of them say, but the Chafetz Chaim said you can't shave. Now, in one of the many research shiurim I heard, there was a taina, I don't know this to be true, that really what they showed the Chafetz Chaim was the original, when the razors came out, we know a real razor is just a blade. They came out with a new thing, which is all that they have today, it's called a safety razor, right? There's a piece of plastic on it. And the taina was, maybe that's not so close to your skin. Maybe the plastic on it blocks the skin, or whatever they had in those days. And he said, no, that's still a razor. That's a razor. So then this whole thing doesn't make sense. And what also doesn't make any sense is that it's 100% baduk v'yadua that in the yeshiva in Radin, they were clean shaven and using shavers. It's baduk v'yadua that in Poland and in Lithuania and all the great yeshivas, you see the picture, everybody sees the pictures, right? You see I don't know what happened exactly, but they're, you know, like the first graduating class of YU, Smicha. Right? My grandfather was the first graduating class of YU, but the first smicha class, everybody's clean shaven, including some of the rabbis. Rav Soloveitchik famously initially had a clean over here, had a bit of a goatee, and maybe invented the cool goatee with it. It was pretty cool. So, that's clear. And then all of a sudden, YU became firmer, and now every guy in smicha has to have a beard and a... Very interesting.
Even in the 1950s,
yeah. So, right, so the Shaila becomes, what changed, right? Again, I don't want to say not nice, but I think it was Rabbi Leibowitz said this, but it's like a funny fact. Here in America, we'll see Rav Moshe, the king of all Poiskim for every community in America, matters it. And in Eretz Yisrael, I had the experience, I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky twice. I really went three times, but once I went and he wasn't there, so... Bad mistake. I went twice. One time I had mamish a long yechidus with him. This is years and years ago. My neighbor, I had just noticed probably at least 10 years ago. And my neighbor's was having a bris the next morning. He knew his grandson because his brother went to his shir and literally drove us in. It was the greatest I ever felt in my life. I was VIP service. And there was a long line, maybe 100 people waiting outside. And the grandson says, nope, come with me. And we went all the way up. We go into the room. I feel like first class. And they shut the door, and his cousin says to him, he says, good job. He went to a wedding. He'll be back in an hour. So we waited there for an hour. It was still a wonderful one. Anyway, the first thing, this is a great story. Rav Chaim, all these questions, this is back when he didn't just say buha, right? He didn't even just say bracha. He answered a lot of questions. And then he looked at us and he said, wait, which grandson do you know? So my neighbor says, oh, whatever, I forgot which one. And he says, oh, I thought he knew Avram Yehuda. And everybody's like cracking up. And we have no idea what's going on. They're making fun of us and we have no idea and walk away. So he asked the grandson, when we're driving him home, what was the joke? He says, the other grandson is Isaac Bekiruf. He assumed you're not from. So we wore the white shirts. Why? He says, because you're clean shaven. Rav Chaim thinks anybody clean. Right? But that's the world that they're living in. Right? The world of the Minchas Yitzchak. When he says, I can't move. That's what's interesting. That's what the, I think it was Rav Sternbach showed the Minchas Yitzchak. They're obviously much different in age. This Chazon Ish, I lost Hashavas Aveda. I lost the biggest Aveda. Everybody told me about the Chavos Chaim. The Chavos Chaim does write it, right? And he does use the word machine. So it's hard for me to believe that that person who said about the I don't know. But let's see the side of the coolest. So first of all, look at the Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to use a razor. But then look at the Haggah, very important Haggah. You have to be careful that it's a real scissor, that the top and bottom work together. And who does he quote? The Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is a chumrah, where the Trumas Hadeshen says, let's say we can come up with a shaver that, I don't know, lifts one of the hairs and then cuts one of the hairs. That's a problem, because that's not a scissor. That's not a misparayim. And this, by the way, is going to be the big thing that they say Rav Moshe did. Rav Moshe wanted to see if one of the blades could cut. So apparently he used to take one of his beard hairs out. And he would take these shavers. They said this, he would do this all the time. Rabbi Tendler tells it differently. He said that he would put, Rabbi Tendler's idea was, take a pen and write on yourself, right? Let it dry and see if it will take off. If it takes off, then that means there's a problem. I'm not sure why. But we'll see Rav Moshe's idea. But this could be a problem for our lift and cut if it's not dual action. Let's see. Give me a second. So it comes along Rav Heinerman of the Star K as an article, because they're not just about kashrus, they're about everything. Hagoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein, who permitted the use of shavers, used a criteria similar to a shochet, who would demonstrate the sharpness of his knife. So too, similar matter, Rav Moshe would often test the sharpness of the electric blades. He would take out a beard hair, as we just said, and test the blades. The shaver would be acceptable. Basically, if it wouldn't split in half. This is what came out, at least in the Rav Moshe's time, all shavers. Some want to argue, this sounds a little strange, but he wasn't against the Chavetz Chaim's idea. The Chavetz Chaim would allow the shavers of today. It sounds funny, but the old shavers was basically a razor that had on it batteries. All right, I don't know if you've ever seen these type of things, right? That's what it is. Maybe closer to what the one blade is today. Now, we just quoted Rav Moshe Feinstein. How is it possible Rav Moshe Feinstein has no tshuva? You said correctly, it's on purpose. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on every single thing you can imagine. How can it be? The only tshuva he has that possibly is doyim to this is actually a tshuva we quoted last week. The tshuva from my dear teacher, Mr. Lappa, right? About the shaitels. And what do we say about that? He tries to school him. And what does he say to him? What about you, Mr. Lappa? You're clean shaven. Is that Marasayan? Now, what's the implication? He didn't say, and obviously you can't use a shaver because that's usher. So clearly, he knew who Mr. Lappa was. Mr. Lappa was very much clean shaven. I would argue, not 5 o'clock shadow clean shaven. Maybe. So some want to just argue that Rav Moshe Feinstein did not write a tshuva on it purposely, but not purposely because he thought, it's quoted by so many of his students this way. The one interesting thing that Rav Nutta Greenblatt points out is the following. What one of his chief Talmidim, there were two, I actually heard a shir where they quoted the two brothers. It's not true. They were, it was his uncle who just passed away. Rav Nutta, you have, and Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. Both of them were Talmidim of Rav Moshe, who, right, I think I'm right about this. It was the uncle and the uncle and the nephew. And I used to work for one of their sons. And so Rav Nutta just passed away. Very, very close. He was the expert in Hilchas Gittin. He did amazing work in saving women from Agunas and Rechulu. So he said that Rav Moshe, those that knew Rav Moshe gave haskamas on every sefer. Right? The joke that they used to tell is a horrible sefer out called Ma'anali Geret. It was a Rav from Brooklyn who wrote against all Rav Moshe's tshuvas. They said he would have given haskama for that. He gave haskamas for everything. He said that when the guy came to him who wrote a sefer against electric shavers, he said, no, I'm not giving a haskama for that. So if not the Greenblatt said, that's a raya, that why is not written in a tshuva? Again, people have different theories on that. It's interesting, in source, if you turn the page, I apologize, I didn't do sources. There's a sefer called Mega Givois Olam, Rav Michael Shorkin. Anybody know Rav Shorkin is? Rav Shorkin's very famous to us YU people. He wrote the Harei Kedem. Rav Michal Shorkin is a Ram in Titus Moshe, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim Yekutsheini. And he learned by Rav Moshe Feinstein, except in his Sefer, he does not attribute Rav Soloveitchik to YU. He says, I'm going to Avesin me Boston. He didn't like YU at all. It's told over that he would go to the shir. He would not go into the main door. He would have someone. He says, oh, you're going to Rav Soloveitchik shir? Open up the side door for me. Because he didn't want anybody to see him. Maris Ayin. Maris, he didn't want anybody to see him. It's true. This is what the story is told. Others like to say, okay, did he pay YU to go to the shir? I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. But he was actually a chief Talmud of Rav Moshe. And he loved the Rav and the Rav's Torah. And it's really remarkable. Someone just told me, one of the shirim told a wonderful story about Rav Shorkin, who said that Rav Moshe Feinstein, when you were in front of Rav Moshe Feinstein, you saw a Malach Hashem Tzavakos. He goes, when I was in Rav Soloveitchik's shir, I just saw the largest brain I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't think it's said in a disparaging way. It says, the chachma that he had, not saying that Rav Moshe didn't, it was unbelievable. So he actually, in this Sefer, he actually quotes both Shitas. He quotes Rav Soloveitchik that he held, who was Mekel, and quotes in the name of Rav Chaim about Tarkein Bisvarayim. But let's see what he says about Rav Moshe. Ulam Hagoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein, lo samach al heter zeh, shel chatzitza, right? Some wanted to argue that there's a chatzitza, because there's a screen. One of the great heterim today is the screen. Every single shaver has a screen in front of it, right? It obviously prevents, I don't know, maybe from getting, it just wouldn't work the other way. You need to have a screen. The screen moves the, right? So what is actually touching your face? The screen, not the blades. The blades don't touch your face, right? Therefore, I don't know if you've ever had this before. Of course I had this, my year in Israel. My shaver fell after Rav Divitrovsky destroyed it. I dropped it on the floor and it had a little nick in it. So when I would shave sometimes, this actually, what I didn't realize was usher, but probably this is a problem. It actually would sometimes, if I didn't pay attention, it could cut me. That's a problem. The screen is amazing. But Rav Moshe found even a further heter. Ela heter mitam acher legamer dini harambam b'shulchan aruch chosev shirak tar aser sakinsha chotech. This is not a chatinsha chotech. Aval derech mashal, right? If you take two kosot zachiot, that's what he did. He said he gave this mashal. If you take two glasses. Egulim v'shar be'emso v'shoifich aleim pamayim hashar yitchon v'yipol. He says it's not going to cut itself. He says betachlis there is no cutting here. He goes, there is no cutting here. V'zeh mamash hamechona hagiluach she'ein kan tar ela techina. Right, it's pulverizing it. That's what we see when we open up our shaver. What do we see? We don't see hairs. We don't see these long hairs. What do we see? These little nothings. Right? So he says, that's totally different. And therefore, it should be mutter. Rav Shabtai Rappaport is a tremendous goyin. Actually, my children's school is named for his wife. It's called Rappaport. Ahavat Yisrael. She started a school in Rav Moshe Feinstein's granddaughter. My kids go see, you think your kids are Haredi, but my kids go to Rav Moshe Feinstein's granddaughter's school. Doesn't mean anything. Okay, but Rav Shabtai Rappaport is the Rosh Yeshiva in the Bar Ilan Kollel, the Bar Ilan in Eretz Yisrael, and he is Rav Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law. Rav Shabtai Rappaport is an expert when it came to this topic. He researched it, and he had a great line. He said, don't watch commercials. Read patents. He says, the commercial, a bunch of liars. They say with exactly what they could get away with. Big deal. But you know what the goes, read the patent. So he took out all the patents for all these shavers and said, what do they actually do? Not what the lift and cut is. And he said, lift and cut is advertising. It's fake because it's still using, it's never using one blade. As long as you have the screen, you don't have a problem. And again, he writes this in an article in a sefer called Tchumim. Tchumim is a tzioni Torah journal that comes out every year called Torah Chabura Medina. It's actually spelled Tchumin, not Tchumim like I wrote. And it speaks about every topic under the sun. The chief rabbis write topics. It's really a remarkable sefer, right? I don't know, they're almost, they're lamed something. I don't know what they're up to today. Comes out every year. So he says like this, Nimsa, shegiluch mesmerayim, mafsik Bituach v'diyuk l'shtamesh, ha-musugal l'chtoch sa'arot, bodadot, be'ezor miduyak. He says, it's not as accurate, right? Nobody ever says, oh my God, I'm in a rush. They take their shaver out, they go, one, two, three, shkoyach. You have to keep going over it and over it again. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. I've been driving before and you see the guy in the car who's late for work. You know, he's using the electric shaver, which is, by the way, I think why this is a popular product. Right? Why don't Gaim just use the tar? But I mean, one of the arguments you could have is that, this is a Goyisha thing. Obviously, millions of them are sold every year. So the answer is, if you want a clean shave, if you're getting married today, okay, the guy is going to go to the barber and not shave with his electric shaver. He is going to get a cut with a razor. That is by far going to be the cleanest. So says Rav Shabtai Rappaport, by definition, anything with a screen does not have the same form. Yes, if you go over it and go over it and go over again, it's going to be chalak. But a razor, the form of the razor is one swoop, you're done. It's possible you weren't 100% accurate just because you're not good at it. But that's the basic idea, right? But if I was to take out a razor now, right? Oh, I'm sorry. If I would take a razor, I don't even want to put myself in this category, and we went to Joe the security guard, right? He's got a beard. He told me also, he said, he likes to do it before the summer because for 3 weeks. He says, it's not going to look good. So Joe said, right? And we take a razor. Now he comes in to demonstrate. That's what we should do here. We should be like live. And I take a razor. I don't know. Wouldn't know how to use it. I probably would kill him. I don't know what to do, right? So we'll see. It comes very chalak. It comes off the right way. Very good. So that's the raya. Obviously, it's a very, very long article. But anything that has a basic screen is going to be a mutter. Because even the lift and cut, by the way, you know what it is? It's like a tweezer that lifts up, which is mutter tweezers, and then the scissor cuts it. That's mutter, right? It's not the hashchasa. It's not like a razor action. Rav Belsky also writes about this. Rav Belsky, of course, was a Talmud of Rav Moshe as well. And Rav Belsky says the following. Also, Torah Vadas, of course. He says, if the lift and cut is true, he says it's usher. There is a big, even those that allow shavers that say the lift and cut is the horrible thing. Now, it's interesting, at the end, Rav Rosen, who was the head of the Soman Institute, who just passed away a few years ago, Rav Rosen actually says in the end, just so you know, if you think you know anything about technology, if you take the lift and cut out, the foil out, it actually makes it a closer shave. So he says, that's a mistake. People who do that. That's what he writes. But according to Rav Belsky, he said, if the lift and cut says what it says, it's usher. But he said, you have to be very imaginative to think it actually does that. He says, it's impossible. It's impossible. It does lift and cut, but it has a screen. So it's always using the two blades. Again, I'm admitting to you that many are still against the lift and cut. Many are against the micro screen because they say that it cuts too close. It's too good of a cut. The problem with that logic is really every shaver that's invented today is too good of it. Why would you make it differently? Unless you're like the cheapest guy in the world and you know, you go on to, or let's say I had this before. I left my shaver back in the days when I was a guy, right? I was on a business trip and I forgot, I was in a rush and I left my shaver in Israel. So what am I going to be, a friar and buy a new shaver for 65? No. So I like went in, not the 99 cent store, but I went into a store and they had a travel shaver for like $9.99. It's a horrible shave. That I can hear. That, you know, yeah, what? Sorry, what'd you say? So the two Isurim in the Torah that we said is one Isur. Tar. So what is it based on? We said it's either based on not being like the Goyim, right, which is probably the chief one. The morning practice they used to have, Baal Tashchis, the real Baal Tashchis, right? Not Baal Tashchis. What's the Isur? Of causing harm to yourself. What? No. They used to hurt themselves when they were, right? They used to take knives out, razors, so we don't allow that either. Lotus Code to do. Sorry, Lotus Code.
Scissors aren't allowed. You said the main thing they have
on for
them is that they're two blades.
No, I didn't say that. I said the Muke Yosef, the Rivan says that. And I said the Trumas Hadeshin has a Chumrah, make sure it has two blades on it. So there is a logic. There are Rabbanim who say, exactly, it needs to have two blades that are working together all the time. Most will say that. The problem is that it's just, I apologize for saying this, it's really not nice. But you can't write a tshuva on any topic unless you know what you're talking about. Okay? You can't say to me, well, it's also because, it looks like it should be also. That's not a tshuva, right? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would often speak as a sefer. It's called logic of the mind and logic of the heart. The Kohen Gadol word that sits on his head, right? And the Ksois HaChoshen here. Because paskening halacha is not only about knowing the halacha. You have to, it's crazy. You got to research it. It's nuts. That's why if I'm looking at a medical tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer, I'm scared of what he writes because he knows what he's talking about. Rav Asher Weiss researches the topic with people. Right? When I had the great success a number of years ago, we catered a medical conference that happened to be in Syracuse. Nobody wanted to. I said, I'll go. For like camp, it's like the closest thing, Syracuse. It's like something you could drive to. So I went there and they had great, great. So Rav Steinberg was there. Amazing. The stories, though, are amazing. How he went, this was talking about the artificial heart, but he said he went to different poskim, and he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, I don't care what you're telling me now. Let's get in a car and go to the farm and show me this transplant. He says, Rebbe, we're not getting to it. We have to get in a car and travel 4 hours. He says, I don't care. I need to see with my eyes. Right? That's a poskim. So, therefore, Rav Shabtai Rappaport is Mekel. The Sheilas HaTshuvos Har Tzvi is very similar to Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin also was the Posek of America before Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. So he was very makel as well. And he writes, Hakafat HaRosh B'mechonat Giluach Hashmalit Neshalti Mieta Sefer, the Sefer M'chonat Giluach Chadasha Sheboi Mi'America. Right? America always brings the horrible things to Israel, like McDonald's and Burger King, right? We bring terrible things. Right? And Osherat has, what do you call? No, they have Costco products now. Baruch Hashem for that. I don't know what excuses you can make anymore. What don't we have? Diet Dr. Pepper, but I'm able to, if anybody needs, I have a guy who can bring it in for us. Okay. Lo nasa b'koyecha adam, says the heart to me. Eloha chashmal ne'edar b'sakin. So he brings this first thing. It's not a good story. It's not good. He wants to show it to you. It's called Grumma. He said there's a Grumma over here. So the Grumma's not going to, the Grumma's, because he rejects it also. He says, it's a Grumma, I'm not even doing it. Anyway, it's not the Doraisa. So it's a Durabanan Alide Grumma. Okay, fine, but that's not what we're going to look at. Le'inyan giluach hazakan yesh lidon ve'etzem hazakin einu pogeav lo nogeh bebasar, because there is sheyesh hefseg dak b'neyem. Right? Rav Moshe didn't like only the screen idea, says Rav Henkin, and I think the thing that that Rav Shorkin was quoting, because he knew what Rav Henkin said. Rav Henkin, and here the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, he said the screen doesn't have the same sharpness, and therefore it is mukder. It's more like a scissor than it is a razor, and therefore it's mukder. This is a huge, big jump now. But I want to show you the other side, right? Especially those here that have beards. There's another side to the story. Says the Tshuva Vahanogas. What about for Chavetz Chaim? Hi, Shrei Rekayim. He says, "Our Isis Yeshtei Anachot Eilo Anuvani." He says like this: Hamichonah biyameinu, Hanira kemo tar, aval be'etzem pulato kemisparayim shekotech dak. It cuts very, very right, and in a very small way. You can hardly see. Ide siruf asakinim el yonim tachlim ve'akoydish Chavetz Chaim wrote in his kuntres v'chein Rabbeinu Chazonish. Shezeh tar mamish. It's a razor. Aval rabim nagul lahakel. Here, at least quotes us. He goes, I have to admit, Hagoyin Rav Chaim Oizer, the great gadol of Europe. Heter, the af, right? So he said that it was mutter. A mechana achas doimer lech, right? One doesn't look like the other, so you have to be very careful what we see. He says, v'matzal tzor over b'chamish alavim. Why should you be machmir? You could be over on five lavim. Are you crazy? And he says, that's what Rav Yaakov Kamyevsky, the stipler, said, and obviously his son, don't play around over here, and therefore don't shave. And this is the Shita, although the Tshuva Vahanogas he does say that there are those that are Mekel. I believe this is because this is from Chelek Aleph. Chelek Aleph is when he still lived in South Africa, and he wasn't super, super crazy like he is today. I mean, in the nicest way possible. But when he became part of the Badas Eid Charedis, Chela Gimel around, you'll see his tshuva is a much more machmir. Okay, much more machmir. And therefore, this was a little bit more normal. But as I said, it's kimat all the Haredi poskim there at Israel say shaving is a terrible, terrible thing. Finally, although again, this is just a summary share. We didn't go into the depths of it. Rav Rosen, who, as I said, passed away a few years ago, wrote in Tchumim Chaf Beis. So you can imagine how many years later this is. Like 10 years later, I was soimich with Shabtai Rapport. He did so much research, I thought he was the right guy, but I don't think he's right. And I got video evidence. I did even more research than he did. But at the end, it's funny. He says for other reasons why shaver should be mutter. The one blade technically could be, he doesn't talk about the one blade, could be more problematic. I apologize, I didn't do a lot of research on the one blade. My understanding is the one blade has, instead of a screen, it's like a comb. That's why everybody loves it. My understanding is it's still two blades. Is that incorrect?
It's the same mechanism as a hair buzzer, it's just smaller.
Right. So, for example, when our shavers have the back, the trimmer, it's like it's a trimmer. Obviously, it's much, much better than that. The trimmer's not, it looks like it's one blade. It's not one blade. It's moving like that. So that's mutter. So it's hard to say. So it's interesting that he like says Rav Shabtai Rapport isn't correct, but then for other reasons says why it would be mutter. He says we have to define what Kimis Marayim Ein Tar is, but they all have screens. He said, and he said, obviously, if it's, as we said before, if it's result oriented, then you have a big problem. Lift and cut's going to be ulcer. Yeah. Do you want to say something?
Yeah. Also, the one blade actually, I find it does a less clean shave than other shaves.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. It's funny you say that. So there's an article just on this topic. Rav Dov Limzer actually wrote it. And he says that many people report that actually it's not as good as people make it out to be. It's just, what's the zachta? Why do people buy it?
It's much more efficient. I go like this once and because of all that like that, but it's not as clean as the other.
Everyone has it, so you can just keep your actual blade with you and you can use anyone's battery.
Oh, for traveling, for sure, because it's smaller.
So it's much more quick. It's much quicker than
And we need quick today. Why should we spend time on things? Yeah. Cutting is a problem. If it cuts you, it's problematic. Again, it's interesting. I have not. I'm sure there are many poskim who have spoken about this. I have not seen their writing. I've seen. Listen, if you're going according to the idea of the screen, it still has a screen, even if the screen is more like a comb. And Rosen doesn't speak about it. Mefurish. So in any case, Yotze Mitzvareinu, as I promised you, we would not get to the real nuts and bolts. But if I can. We have 5 minutes, right? Can you give me 5 minutes? We'll talk very briefly, and then maybe in the Shabbos here, we'll talk about a little bit in detail. Once you see the shear, it's now going to make sense, right? It's like my joke that I tell. Someone went to Rav Moshe Feinstein and asked him, are you allowed to go to movies during the 3 weeks? Rav Moshe said, it's awesome. And as the guy was walking out, he goes, by the way, it's also during the 52 weeks, right? So who are you asking about shaving? All the poskim who we just rattled off who say it's awesome? So that makes sense, because if you go to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to say, it's mutter lechachila, but during the 3 weeks, maybe we shouldn't. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch tells us, aval tisparet noagim lahachmir miyudzayin betamuz. Now the question is, we didn't see one word in this whole shiur about the word tisparet. What's tisparet? Probably cutting your hair. So Rav Aaron Salvechik pointed out, he says, why didn't he say the word giluach? Gemara uses the word giluach. It's a modern Hebrew word for shaving too. Interesting. Famously, you can't go anywhere without a 3 week shear with anybody not quoting the Rav. Rav Schechter, I think, puts it the best. Rav Schechter, it's funny, on the topic of Rav Schechter was asked on the topic of shavers. So Rav Schechter, many, many years, was clean shaven, right? When Rav Salvechik died, he begged his wife, that's what he tells. He said to his wife, I can't do this anymore. My Rebbe died, can I at least? And then once he had it for that, the whole year of Avelis, for Rav Salvechik, for his Rebbe Muvok, he didn't shave, and his wife's like, it's not bad. Okay. And she let him keep it. He always wanted to keep it. So he says, I don't know what he says. And he said, Rav Salvechik allowed it. He says, I don't know the halacha. Go to Rabbi Willi. Rabbi Willi did a lot of research on this. So Rabbi Ari Lieber says, the first time ever he said, go to my Talmud and ask him. Interesting. So Rav Schechter quotes a topic that's such a brisker topic. You can't just, and we'll discuss this tomorrow, you can't just make things up. You can't make, last week we spoke about Chumrah of the Week, you can't have your 3 weeks Chumrah of the Week. Right? This is a big shiloh I get all the time during the 3 weeks, where counselors say, what the heck do you want me to do? Last year, this was a big shiloh, because you weren't allowed to go to certain places because of COVID, so you couldn't go to any Jew place. So during the 3 weeks, you can't shop, so what are you going to do? I'll go hang out at Dougie's, right? And eat again, and eat again, and eat again. Okay. And then go across the street and Dam Mincha. And then Dam Mincha, I don't know, whatever. Anyway. So the only place they were letting them go was shopping place. So you had all these shilohs. So that we'll discuss tomorrow. Right, about the Shachianu, but Rav Soloveitchik said, you need what we call a paradigm. I need an example to fit in somewhere where the 3 weeks is a paradigm. So says Rav Soloveitchik, and this is in Nefesh HaRav, attributed to him, Rabbeinu Hesbir, Minach HaAvelos Miyud Zayin B'Tamuz Ve'elech, Hu B'Vechinat Avelos Yud Bet Chodesh. He goes, now we're in the 3 weeks, right? We're going to start the 3 weeks on Shabbos Kodesh. And that means that it's the opposite of Avelos. So a famous idea of the Rav. So which means what? And he says it's based on Rav Chaim. We're going to have Ke'en Yud Beis Chodesh. Then Rosh Chodesh is going to start and it's going to be like the Avelos of the 30 days. And then really you're not allowed to shave, according to everyone. And then you're going to have Tisha B'Av itself. And Tisha B'Av is going to be an Avelos mamish like an Ovel. We sit on the floor. We don't greet people. So therefore, you're going to say to me, okay, the year of Avelos, what's the story? So we have a concept called Ad Sheyigro B'Chaver. After Shloshim, you're allowed to shave. Some people actually say it's not for 30 days. Some people say it's only if somebody comes up to you. Some people say it's only 40 or 50 days. I could be wrong about this, but my year in Yeshiva, Rav Nevinzal was in Avelos for his father. And the rumor was, and I saw this once, that he did not shave, obviously, but he didn't take a haircut. It was months in, and he would, once in a while, he'd take his hat off, and you could see. So I don't know if it was the whole year or it was 6 months. There are different sheets. Some people wait 3 months. So Cesar of Salvation, there's nothing to discuss here. Shaving is mutter. Because during the year of Avelos, you're allowed to shave. It's mutter. Rav Moshe takes it from a different angle, and he says, it's mutter only when? Only if you need it for work. Because it's a chumra anyway. Im ye hefseid mammon mutter, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, or Chaim Dal Kuf Beis. He says in another tshuva in Choshen Mishpat, Hine im einu yachol elech lavodosa k'shenim megalech. He seems to be right. There's a hefset. Even if the hefset. Now I don't know if this is true anymore. If you want, we could discuss this hak tomorrow. I don't believe anymore that you're allowed to say anything to anybody about anything, right? Mirz Hashem next week. I want to do this topic purposely. Shockingly, I spent a number of weeks here and we didn't discuss girls. So maybe we'll discuss casual touching because of an incident that just happened yesterday with President Biden. There's a singer, something Dayan, and she sang, President Biden's in Eretz Yisrael, and she's a frum singer, and she finished singing, and Biden comes up to her and says, Nu, Shalom Aleichem. Yeah, that's what singers do. It's not Kalisha for her.
No, I'm saying she's singing too.
Was you at the thing last night? It's Kalisha also. Okay, so, I didn't get my Kalisha here either. Terrible. Anyway, so she stuck her hand, and he stuck his hand out, and she went like this, very politely. And he's understood. Everybody's going crazy about this. Our great new employee, Sivan Rahiv Meir, she wrote a whole article about it, saying, in the generation we live in, of course you could not shake, you know, the women's rights movement. She says, wow, it's a Kiddush Hashem. She's allowed to. No, it's not right. We'll discuss it next week in Mitzvah Hashem. But I bring it up. I don't know why I brought it up. But I bring it up. I don't think that shaving today, I don't know, I could be wrong. I have my famous story that when I always shaved in America for work, I thought you had to, like Rav Moshe Struva. When I moved to Eretz Yisrael, I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. My office, everybody, people dress like any way they want it. So I remember it was right after Pesach, I hadn't shaved for Chol HaMoed either, and I had a nice little beard. And my father said, you going to work like that? I said, yeah, I want to see what my CEO says. So similar to my wife, I walk in, and the first thing he sees me, we used to have a soda machine. I'm addicted to soda. We had a soda machine, and it was one shekel for a soda. It used to be free, but then they caught at night. All the cleaning help was stealing all the sodas, so he had to pay a shekel for it. So I got my soda for my morning soda, and guess what? He walks in, he looks at me, he goes, Daniel, wow! Yafeh, it looks good. He goes, you don't look as fat. So I said to my father, he said, I'm not so sure about that. Again, it's a case-by-case basis. I just want to point out one other thing. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein has a famous article, I'm not going to do it justice in 60 seconds, where he says that these are all chumras. I wonder if this chumra would be overridden by covered Shabbos. Right? I happen to know one of your wonderful rabbeim, Rav Evan. So, was this yesterday's Mishnah Berurah here? No, about the shaving for covered Shabbos. Some point, he doesn't even remember, you're like as old as I am, at some point, and then you guys went crazy at the Arizal, what is shaving, okay, but not for now. But it'll cover Shabbos, you have to get yourself ready for Shabbos. Right? It's even a Shiloh, if you took a shower in the morning, maybe you should take a shower on Machmir. Right? I take two showers, this is camp, it's yucky. Take a shower in the morning, take a shower, it'll cover Shabbos. So he argues that if Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Yom Chamishi, if it's on Thursday, really, the halacha is, says the Tosfos and the Magen Avraham even quotes this, you're really allowed to do laundry already from Chatzos if you think you're not going to have stuff for Shabbos back in the day when they wouldn't. We allow a lot of things to cover Shabbos. So how are you not allowed to shave? This was a famous shita that he quoted. Besides the fact his father-in-law allowed it. Besides that, he said, but l'chavet Shabbos, you can't be machmir. This is where Rav Aaron Soloveitchik has a similar piece in Lumdus, also by Chol HaMoed. He thinks nowadays it's a mitzvah to shave every day if you normally shave, because it's a bizarion, because nowadays we're not going to fall into the category that we mentioned before. Okay, not for now. But you have the comment. So just to end off, a beautiful, beautiful ending to the story. He was very, very close, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, I think we spoke about this 2 weeks ago, to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And in the gorgeous, gorgeous interaction between them, they had a very close relationship. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein used to live in Yerushalayim. He went to him and he says, someone told me you have a very unique shita when it comes to Sphere in the 3 weeks. He says, you know what? Sphere, I got no problem with it. Sphere already is, we're going to discuss this tomorrow. Sphere and the 3 weeks are not the same when it comes to that Avelis. But the 3 weeks, Horban HaBayis, I'm sorry. This is unlike Rav Shlomo Zalman, and apparently, this part I'm not 100% sure about, apparently Rav Aaron Lichtenstein would not shave for Shabbos during the 3 weeks, but would shave, Rav Rimon writes this in his Sefer, but would shave during Sphere L'Chavot Shabbos. Very, very interesting split in the two, but it does show us how important Chavot Shabbos is just in general. We should obviously always recognize that it's something that actually came up, la'alacha. And Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll review the number one topic everybody wants to discuss, which is music. But we'll get into the topic a little bit more about, we'll touch on shaving again, and that's what we'll do. Shkoyach, sorry that we went a little longer.